Yesterday, President Obama and his Republican challenger Mitt Romney paid tribute to fallen veterans at Memorial Day services and made comments about the country's debt to the military and foreign policy concerns. But the main focus of the presidential campaign for the past couple of weeks, anyway, has been the economy and which candidate would be best suited to handle our economic challenges. And Mitt Romney's tenure at Bain Capital has been a major focal point. President Obama last week said Romney's business experience there does not qualify him to be the CEO of the country.
When you're president, as opposed to the head of a private equity firm, then your job is not simply to maximize profits. Your job is to figure out how everybody in the country has a fair shot.
In return, Romney said the president is anti-capitalism.
There's no question but that he's attacking capitalism, in part, I think, because he doesn't understand how the free economy works. He's never had a job in the free economy, either as Vice President Biden. They spent their lives as either community organizers or as members of the political class.
We will welcome your questions and your reactions to these comments for our guest analyst this hour at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. As we talk about the battle over Bain and what it means in terms of the economic policies of the presidential candidates. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up now on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May 29th. Our guest is Stephen Smith, professor of political science and the director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So how did this Bain Capital issue get to be such a big deal?
Well, you know, the Democrats have been making hay with the issue for a long time, and it was early last week when the White House, some people in the Obama campaign and now the president himself, decided to speak out and on the issue of whether or not Mitt Romney's experience as the head of Bain Capital is an appropriate, strong basis for, as background for a presidential candidate. They obviously know that Romney is making the economy and his experience in business as the central focus of his campaign, and the Democrats decided to go on the attack and go after that core part of the Romney argument.
Mm-hmm. So trying to make a strength of a candidate a weakness, perhaps.
Well, that's right. You know, they know that Americans are unhappy with big government and also big business. And so they're trying to draw a distinction between Wall Street and Main Street, between the economy that's run on the basis of money and the economy that's run on the basis of entrepreneurs and hard work. And it's that distinction which the Democrats think will work to their advantage in this environment, while the Republicans and Romney obviously think that Romney's experience in business is what's going to carry the day.
This also was used by some of Mitt Romney's Republican challengers in the primary process, though. Didn't they call him, a vulture and other names?
Well, that's right. By the time that Romney had come out on top in New Hampshire, Gingrich, Rick Perry, and eventually Rick Santorum all went after Romney's claims of having an appropriate business background. They all called it vulture capitalism in one phrase or another, and this was not lost on the Democrats. At some point here, we're going to see a Democratic ad pulling together a collage of Republican commentary on just that point.
Help us understand Bain a little better. What exactly is Bain Capital?
Well, it's a private equity firm that takes investors' money and invests it in the economy, usually in businesses. Oftentimes, they buy struggling businesses that seem like they're a good deal, that have plenty of good assets, such as lots of machines, lots of factories that provide a kind of a core value. And then, you know, in most cases, they actually try to get that company back on its feet. In many cases, though, that's not going to happen. They end up selling off the company and its assets. Lots of jobs are lost. Some of them would have been lost anyway, but perhaps some of them are now being lost more rapidly than they would have been otherwise. Then they sell off the assets and, you know, make a profit if they place their bets right, make a profit in doing so.
And what was Romney's role there? Was he the CEO of this
company?
Yeah,
he was a creator and a senior manager in that operation for many years.
Mm-hmm. So he says this experience shows that he has the ability to create jobs, and his critics would say it shows he has the ability to destroy jobs.
Well, you know, it is fair to say, as Romney's team claims, that when you're in that business, you have many, many, many opportunities to see what succeeds and fails. You are trying to get some companies back on their feet. You recognize that some companies just have to be closed down and the money invested in another location. So, you know, you do have a perspective on the economy that relatively few people get, because you're working with many, many companies over a relatively short period of time. Many people in business stick with one or two businesses in their lifetime, but when you work if you're the head of a major private equity firm, you're looking at a lot of businesses all the time. And that's the perspective, he says, is relevant to the presidency. As you say, the Democrats argue that there is a that's not really what a president of the United States does. A president of the United States isn't looking to make a buck for investors, but is trying to improve the state of the economy for all citizens. This is exactly what President Obama said over the weekend, and so we're going to see a pretty serious difference of opinion here. I think that most Americans are going to judge both Romney and Obama as being personally competent,
mm-hmm.
That they can handle this job, that they've had the experience that's required to do the work. They do differ about the public policies that ought to be pursued, and I think in the end it's going to turn on those public policies and not on these arguments over experience and personality.
Uh-huh. So do you think that this Bain Capital issue will stick around for a while, or will something else take the spotlight?
Well, you know, I think every campaign has its own dynamic, and we're in a period now where both campaigns really don't have a lot to do. They're preparing for the fall campaign. They're going to be going after each other. It's all going to look pretty petty. Through the rest of the summer, this is kind of the ugly part of a campaign. You know, we know who the candidates are going to be, but we're a long way away from the election. So now they're trying to shape the image of the opponent to the best that they to the extent that they can. They are a little bit off message. The core message here really is the economy, as opposed to the personal considerations, personalities, personal experience. I think if you pushed Romney, he would argue that his main differences with Obama are over policy. There's a tendency here to personalize that and say, well, he's got bad policies because he's an incompetent person. And the Democrats are more or less saying, you know, this guy's got the wrong policies because his heart is in the wrong place. And so the argument's going to go back and forth like this. I think this is an election where probably about 85 or 90% of Americans have already made up their mind. And they're trying to shape the attitudes of the remaining 10% or so on the basis of these kinds of considerations. It might make a difference at the margins. But I think the core issue is whether or not the economy is going to continue to improve. And if it does, Romney's going to have a hard argument that Obama really deserves to be defeated.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's ask listeners, which of the presidential candidates' policies do you favor? favor the most and why. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Turning cloudy with a chance of showers in northern Wisconsin today. Mostly sunny in the south with highs in the 50s in the north, the 60s in central Wisconsin, and 70s in the southern part of the state. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, May 29th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. The gubernatorial recall election is now only a week away. A week from today. Isn't that right? Boy, can you believe it? President Obama has kept a low profile in this recall fight, and after three, Ben Marins and his guest will discuss how involved the president should be in a polarizing fight with national overtones. That's coming up during At Issue with Ben Marins after 3 o'clock this afternoon. Well, we're talking about the presidential campaign and which of the presidential candidates has the best economic policies and the fight that's going on right now, the debate over Bain Capital and the impact that that may have down the road. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Stephen Smith, a professor of political science and the director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. Before we get back to our issue about the economic policies of the presidential candidates, I'm wondering if you have a comment, Professor Smith, on President Obama and why he hasn't come to Wisconsin or been very vocal in Wisconsin's recall election?
Well, that's a good question. I don't have a good answer. You'd think that the National Democrats would really want to take advantage of the opportunity in Wisconsin to knock off a sitting Republican governor, one who's been so notorious, and especially in Democratic circles, and use the occasion to show that Republicans overread their mandate in the last election cycle, and that the U.S. is bending back. Well, a reasonable theory here is that he didn't think that he could do much to influence the outcome. He might only complicate the situation for the Democratic candidate. Should it not turn out so well for the Democrats, it might end up being a sign that Obama himself is in trouble. So I think they decided that the caution was the best approach here, and decided to let Wisconsinites fight it out on their own.
Yeah, and I don't mean to spring you with a bunch of questions that you haven't had a chance to think about, but President Obama is ahead of Mitt Romney in polls in Wisconsin, including Wisconsin Public Radio's poll that we do every spring with St. Norbert College in De Pere. He is leading Mitt Romney, whereas in the gubernatorial recall election, Governor Walker has a slight lead over Mayor Barrett. I'm wondering what you think's going on in Wisconsin, that a Democratic incumbent president would be the favored candidate and a Republican incumbent governor would be the favored candidate.
Yeah. Well, obviously it comes down to a few percentage of Wisconsin voters that seem to have contradictory views of the sitting president and of the sitting governor. And we'd have to, zero in on, what their thinking is. How could you support one but not the other? And it's oftentimes not easy to explain. Not everything in politics can be readily rationalized. But surely there are Americans, and they constitute maybe 20% of all Americans, who consider themselves to be conservatives, but when it comes down to individual policy questions, are oftentimes operational liberals. That is, they see the world largely through conservative lenses. At least they think so. And so, when there's a big battle between conservatives and liberals, and that's the primary focus, is their general ideology, they tend to go with the conservative. But when a campaign is over specifics, whether or not you're for cutting Medicare or Social Security, increasing the minimum wage, they tend to be a bit more liberal. You know, I think what we've seen here in Wisconsin is a big fight over, you know, general ideology. I sit in the Twin Cities an awful lot of the time, and so I follow Wisconsin politics at arm's length. And whereas in, you know, American national politics, there's been a great deal of focus on the Republican stance on changing the financial basis of Medicare and so on. So mm-hmm. it's possible that there are somewhat different grounds for evaluating candidates at the national and the state level at the moment.
Let's take some calls. John in La Crosse is with us first. Hello, John.
Yeah, thanks. I was going to comment on the common way that things are phrased. Often we say that Bain Capital and others, when they close business, they're doing nothing but destroying jobs. It's very destructive. And I say, and I think economists generally agree, that what's happening is when a business can't sustain itself, when it can't thrive and pay its investors and pay for the lease of the machines and pay for the lease of the buildings, then it should be closed. And it should be closed. And the reason is because those assets should be reallocated, should be put somewhere else. Those assets don't disappear. People can rent that building and build a new company that will be sustaining. They can use those assets somewhere else. And if we just struggle along with businesses that are not productive, we are making a big mistake. And so, you know, I could you please comment on the idea that Obama wants to sort of take care of the whole country? Could you expand on what that means? It sounds very fluffy to me. Thank you.
All right. Professor Smith?
Well, I'm not quite sure that I know where John is coming from.
Yeah, he didn't say, the president didn't say, I don't know, I want to
take care of the whole country. Yeah. I don't think I did either. Mm-hmm. It is true that Bain was organized a couple of decades ago with Romney's leadership and the support of a guy by the name of Bain, where the name comes from, as a co-partner. In which they promised to have a different kind of private equity company. Instead of the usual leverage buyouts, which we began to see in the 80s and early 90s that got such a bad reputation, remember, a leverage buyout was where they would borrow money from the banks, from the market, based on the assets of the company they were buying. And then if the company didn't improve, had to close, they would have to sell off the assets of the company, the machines and the factories and so on, in order to cover those loans. In the meantime, the private equity company would make a buck on all the transactions, while people would lose their job. What Bain promised was a different approach. They promised to become partners with the existing management wherever possible, give the existing management a stake, an equity stake, in the improvements of the company, you know, try to do it a different way so that the leverage buyouts weren't quite as hard on the local company. Though it is true that still many companies failed and they ended up selling off the assets. Now, this is an important part of the American economy, that companies fail and are replaced, that their assets are redistributed, just as John suggested. I think those are all very important parts of the economy. Now, the question is whether or not that by itself makes you qualified to be president. The Romney argument is that the kind of experience that does make you qualified to be president, because that's really how the core of the economy works. Whereas the Obama argument over this last weekend is that no, the function of a president is to work for all Americans, to look for new and creative ways to improve the economy for all Americans, to invest in the future of America means not just buying and selling companies, but providing an infrastructure, building an education system, and doing the other things that invest in the American people and improve the economy over the long haul. So there is a different vision here, one that focuses on the needs of business and one that focuses more on the needs of Americans, the Obama team would say. And so there is a substantial different vision about what the next administration should be about.
We have just a minute before a news break. Who appears to be winning this argument, President Obama or Mitt Romney?
Well, in the short run, it looks like Romney's numbers have improved, and so anything that's happening at the same time, like these arguments about Bain Capital, seem to be playing in his favor. You know, my view, though, is that in the long run, this is not the kind of argument that Romney would like to have. I think he would like to have the focus on Obama policies. And, in fact, I'm quite sure that over the next few days and next week or so, we're going to see the Romney team focus a lot more on the limited successes of the Obama policies, the stimulus, and some other issues, and try to take us away from a focus on Romney's background.
Mitt Romney's years at Bain Capital has become a major focus on the campaign trail. President Obama says Romney's tenure at a private equity firm proves he's an out-of-touch millionaire concerned only with profits. Meanwhile, Romney says it highlights his leadership skills and ability to create jobs and says the president doesn't really understand how the free economy works. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday, May 29th. We're talking about this Bain debate and the economic policies being touted by the presidential candidates and welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Stephen Smith, a professor of political science and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. And let's go back to the phones and take our next caller, Jerry in Little Chute. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. You hear some people claim that you need a good business background to run a country, but I don't think I want a corporate CEO conducting a war or trying to act as a foreign diplomat. They don't have the experience. I don't want my president running my country like a business, cutting and slashing policy that deals with oversight and regulation and promoting profits at any cost. The business of America may be business, but we are also a nation of laws, and I would feel more comfortable with a president that is a good foreign diplomat and has a good handle on a broad range of subjects. And I'll take your comments off the air. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Your thoughts on that, Professor Smith?
I think Jerry's got a very strong argument. I think it's an argument that we're going to be hearing a great deal from the Obama team itself. The fact is a president operates in an environment that really is quite different than what you'd see in a typical corporation. Even the executive branch of the federal government cannot be run in the same way that a business is run. It's his relationships with various parts of the government require negotiation. He always has to have political support. He can do very little without the support of the Congress. So it's a very different kind of job than you find in most of the typical lives of business executives.
Is it fair for President Obama to say, as he has, that Mitt Romney is promoting the same economic policies that caused the financial crisis to begin with?
Well, I don't think that's quite fair, but there is some truth to the argument that the Romney policy platform hasn't changed a lot from what we've seen from Republicans for many years. The basic formula of lower taxes, less regulation, is the kind of the centerpiece of Republican economic policy. It has been that now for a generation, and the Romney plan is that, and not a whole lot more. I think they would like to see some of the regulations that protect union labor weakened. But beyond that, there's not a great deal that's new in the Romney plan. what they're going to argue is that the focus really shouldn't be on what Romney is for so much as the mistakes that Obama has made, and they want this to be a referendum on Obama. They're going to make the case that they're a viable alternative. And I think most Americans will see Romney as a competent individual who's capable of handling the presidency. So I think that the focus is going to be elsewhere. The question is whether or not the Democrats will be able to force the Romney campaign to become a lot more detailed in their plans about taxes and regulation and labor than they have been so far. They really have talked only in generalities. Romney's standard campaign speeches provide little detail, and his advisors oftentimes refer reporters to their website, which I've read with some care, and you won't find a great deal of detail there either. So I think the argument that that Romney hasn't come up with new plans of his own is a potential vulnerability for him, and we might see him be forced to flesh out some greater detail here in the next few months.
Henrietta in Elm Grove emails, Romney's experience isn't limited to the private sector, as President Obama seems to infer. His tenure as governor and with the Olympics provide a diverse background. Why is this not being mentioned?
Well, I think the focus on Romney's business background is because that's been the focus of Romney. Let's keep in mind that during the course of the Republican presidential nomination contest, Romney was attacked for his support of health care reform as governor of Massachusetts. And he chose to give a great deal of attention to his business background. He's reinforced that focus over the course of the last few weeks since he's wrapped up the presidential nomination for all practical purposes. And so I think it makes a lot of sense that the media and certainly the Obama campaign focus on what Romney is giving focus to. That may not continue to be the case. I think Romney has a richer background that he certainly will want to give some emphasis to. I think his background as governor suggested an ability to work with Democrats from time to time on tough issues, and that's something which we might find that it gives new emphasis to. But you know, the more focus there is on Massachusetts, the more focus there is on the Massachusetts health care plan, which indeed was the foundation for Democrats thinking about the Obama health care mm-hmm. plan. So that is not something that I think really plays to their advantage, and they realize that, so they're steering clear of it.
You know, this Bain issue got a lot of attention when, I think it was last Sunday, Newark Mayor Cory Booker made comments about the approach attacking Romney's tenure at Bain Capital as nauseating, though he later retracted that or at least stepped back from that with a tweet. Not all Democrats are convinced that President Obama's following the right strategy here. Isn't that right?
Well, I think that is right. Mm. And I think there's been a tendency to exaggerate exactly what it is the Obama campaign has been arguing. I think the president himself has been exceptionally careful, and maybe too careful from the point of view of many Democrats, about what he has said about the Bain experience. I think his point is that there's more to being president than making a buck for investors. If he limits it to that and talks about the other things you want from a president, then I think it probably is a strategy that's going to work very well. The problem for a campaign like the Obama campaign is once they open a subject and push a subject, make it a prominent issue, they can't control what many other Democrats, even some of their own surrogates, are saying. And they end up having to defend somewhat exaggerated statements that are not their own. And that's the risk that every campaign takes, including the Romney campaign. Once you start pushing an issue, then you end up having to defend somewhat more radicalized versions of the issue. And I think the Obama campaign has found found that it's been in that position over the last couple of weeks. I think that's what the mayor was reacting to, not so much the president's own comments, but the comments of others.
So what do you make of this battle over Bain? Is President Obama right to criticize Mitt Romney's tenure at Bain, or do you think it plays up Romney's strengths? Is this going to affect who gets your vote? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Stephen Smith, who is a professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. And our next caller is Steve in Solon Springs. Hello, Steve.
Good morning. I have to disagree with the one of your guests there. I'm not sure which one was
I just have one guest.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I was hearing multiple conversations. Anyway, the issue is that the United States government, in fact, the president does need to have a substantial business background and understand corporate structure. The Constitution, I was taught this in 1976 by Dr. Johnson at the University of Minnesota in Duluth, in U.S. history. And the United States is formed as a corporation, each one of the states being one of the founding partners, and then additional states being brought in. We are all shareholders. We're represented by a board that's called the United States Congress, the president executive that is supposed to execute the will of Congress, and by doing so, the will of the people. We have a president now that's acting roguely. Most corporations would remove him from his position. He has bankrupted the country. He has not operated under a budget. And I think that you're wrong about that.
All right. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Yes, we just have one guest, but sometimes our listeners think that our callers are also guests, which they are, and we appreciate his comment. But anyway, he thinks he's not a fan of President Obama's performance when it comes to the economy.
Well, you know, the question of what the I think the larger issue here is, I mean, clearly Steve is a partisan for the Romney camp, and that's and he stated a very strong version of the Romney argument against the president. But, you know, I view this more as a political scientist or an historian. I see many, many successful presidents over the last half century who really did not take a leadership role in business. Eisenhower came out of the military. Kennedy was a successful president by most measures until he was assassinated without personally a business background. He had mainly a military and then an almost entirely political background. Johnson was a very successful domestic president, although the Vietnam War ended up destroying his presidency without a business background. Even Reagan, while up in the private sector most of his life, really never was a business leader. So we have presidents from all kinds of backgrounds who end up being very successful. Business certainly provides relevant experience, but it's not the only experience that's led to successful presidencies.
So does Mitt Romney's business experience make him a better candidate to handle the country's economic problems, or is President Obama on the right track? We welcome your thoughts, your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, turning cloudy with a chance of showers in northern Wisconsin, mostly sunny in the south with highs ranging from the 50s in the north through the 60s in central Wisconsin and into the 70s in the southern part of the state. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's On Your Money. Financial planner Kevin McKinley is off today, but you're in good hands. We'll have another financial expert talking with us about the most common financial hurdles that many of us find ourselves dealing with and how to get past them. That's coming up, On Your Money, after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the nation's economy and which of the presidential candidates has a better handle on its problems. Stephen Smith is our guest, a professor of political science, director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. And before we go back to the phones, Professor Smith, our last caller made some references to President Obama bankrupting the country and being a, you know, a tax and spender or something along those lines. What do you make of the news that came out just last week, that President Obama is not the huge spender that he's perceived to be? It was a report that was in the Washington Post that said that President Obama has spent less money than most presidents in the last half century.
Well, whenever you're talking about the federal budget, it ends up being a little bit complicated. But the truth is that the biggest single element of the past couple of years on the budget side is the August agreement, in which the Congress and the President agreed to $1 trillion in deficit reduction through spending cuts over the next 10 years. That part is in place. And then they agreed to an additional roughly $1 trillion in cuts through sequestration, that is across-the-board cuts, if that special committee that met last fall failed to come up with additional cuts that Congress approved. It failed, and so the sequestration order is in place. So between these two, we have something in the neighborhood of $2 trillion worth of cuts, all on the spending side, that represents roughly a third of the total additional debt that we expected to accumulate over that 10-year period. So that is a huge down payment on the on deficit reduction, that has come from from this president. We're now in a bit of a battle in Congress about whether or not that sequestration should take effect. The Republicans want to undo it a little bit because they don't like the cuts on the defense side. About half of that would come, that $1 trillion cut would come from the defense side, and they don't want to see that happen. So the Republicans are now in the somewhat awkward position of having to defend undoing the across-the-board cuts in order to protect defense spending. So there has been a huge cut, especially on the discretionary domestic spending side, now also with a little bit on the defense side. What's remained largely untouched is the are the large entitlement programs, Medicare, Social Security, and of course we still really haven't addressed the tax situation for the long term, with so many of the current tax cuts in place expiring at the end of the year. So there's a lot to be done, but on the side of domestic discretionary spending, huge cuts have already been accomplished.
Let's go back to the phones. Commodore in Kenosha is with us. Good morning.
Good morning. My comment really was that, you know, I think that there's a lot of experience that Mitt Romney brings to the table, but, you know, some things that I really haven't seen, you know, are two things that I think are really important: compassion and empathy. And I think that Obama has shown those things, you know, and you know, being that that Mitt Romney worked with Bain Capital, one of the things that he said on the, you know, leading up to this point, people have kind of forgot about now, that, you know, he said, I really like to fire people. You know, I mean, that was something that he enjoyed. And I don't think that, you know, this person, even though he has this experience working with Bain Capital, you know, that's not really, it's a great background, but I don't think it's right to lead the country. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of programs that may not be seen favorable for one reason or another, but, you know, they do help the small communities, or, you know, they do help the school systems. And he might say, you know, I don't see the need for it.
Yeah. So is a perceived lack of empathy going to hurt Mitt Romney, do you think, Stephen Smith?
Well, I think there's certainly the impression that the Obama campaign and the Democrats want to leave. That's why they're beating up on his experience in Bain Capital. They want to say that he cares more about making a buck than he does about the American people. And that's an argument that you know, could resonate with many Americans who are feeling very insecure about their jobs. There's a general feeling the government worries more about those who already have money and worry about Wall Street more than they worry about, you know, the average American. And the polls show that, you know, there are more Americans who think that Obama will protect their economic interests than Romney will. So Obama has some things going for him, and Romney has some, I think, some serious challenges in this campaign. On the objective side of it, though, you know, it's pretty clear that Romney, having been a governor, having served in a variety of positions in and out of business, has what we would normally say are the right qualifications for a major candidate for president. I don't think this is going to come down to these qualifications. I think it's going to come down to what they stand for.
We have one more email from Dennis in Hudson. It seems that Romney's experience at Bain Capital shows that he is very good at helping the top 1% at the expense of the other 99%. Is that theme going to be continuing in the presidential?
Well, it sure is, and that's the theme of whether, you know, his focus has been on making money for those who already have money versus creating jobs for those who are struggling with everyday life. And the impression that the Democrats want to create is that while Bain and Romney have you know, been a success in the business world, this is not the kind of success that carries over into running a country. So it is a major challenge for Romney. And when the American people are kind of fed up with Wall Street and blaming Wall Street for a lot of our problems over the past few years, to have a candidate who's so closely connected with big money interests is a bit of a problem. It's what other Republican candidates picked on during the nomination process, and it's not going to be too surprising for Democrats run with that theme here over the next few months.
We will leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Stephen Smith, professor of political science and the director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. Stay tuned. Coming up on the Ideas Network, a special edition of On Your Money. Certified financial planner Kevin McKinley has the week off, but we will have a different financial expert to answer your personal finance questions. We're going to focus a little bit more on credit debt, student loan debt, budgeting, and saving coming up during On Your Money. Thanks very much to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.